Hey, this is Pastor John Ryan Cantu from Pneuma Church in Houston, Texas. Thank you for listening to the message today. I hope that it blesses you and all those that you share it with. God bless you. I'm excited to preach this message. Before we get into the word, I do want to announce, I know some have been asking about those pre-orders, the merch, our shirts and all that stuff. Those can be picked up in the foyer today after service. And we still have some for sale. So if you bought your shirt a couple of weeks ago, you can pick that up now. Praise God. Amen. And again, remember what I say, represent your church well and represent your Lord well. Don't go to the gym cussing people out with a Pneuma shirt on saying servant of God. Amen. All right. Let's get into it. So over the past couple weeks, the Lord has been moving me to bring some more practical teachings that would hopefully call us out of the places that we've been so insistent on staying in, not because we want to be there, but because, you know, our bad habits, maybe poor upbringing, maybe laziness, maybe poor stewardship. It might be helpful for you to go back and listen to the past two sermons on the Pneuma Church podcast, just to be up to date with what God has been saying. But I didn't really intend to be in this theme that we kind of seem to be in. Had I known, I probably would have been more intentional and creative with like putting this into a sermon series. But I do believe that God is calling his people to come out of places that hinder the most optimal spirit-led version of ourselves. I want to be the most optimal spirit version led of myself. At the start of every year, we like to declare the best is yet to come, right? But that also means that we need to bring the best that we've ever brought before to the honor of God. We can't just be spitting things out like and just like magic's gonna happen. We have to do our part. And so that's why we're talking about some practical things. So we started 2 weeks ago and we spoke about Lot. And I'm gonna give you just a little bit of a recap so you're kind of up to date. And we talked about how God in his grace called Lot out of this place that would literally kill him if he stayed there. But Lot didn't really take it seriously. He kind of didn't move with a lot of urgency. And ultimately it got him, well, not him, but his family, some of his family killed. It got his wife killed. And I want us to be a church that is always moving towards where God is calling us out of, right? And what he's calling us into with haste and with seriousness. If God is calling us out of something, we shouldn't take our sweet time. We shouldn't drag our feet. We shouldn't linger. We shouldn't ask, well, who's staying here, right? We should just go. Wherever God is calling us into, we should move with haste into. Last week, if you were here last week, we made it super practical. We talked about God's money. We talked about how scripture actually calls us out of an improper handling of God's money and into godly stewardship. As believers, church, we are actually called. Scripture calls us to use wealth in a way that honors and blesses the kingdom, not in a way that causes us, not in a way to be causes stumbling blocks for the people of God. And so we've been talking about some things that we can do practically in our everyday lives to be God-honoring and God-fearing people every single day, not just Sundays. Amen? It doesn't matter that much if we can speak in tongues and be spiritually gifted and worship hard at the altar and cry at the altars if we can't apply the spiritual to the physical, to the mental, to the emotional, to the financial. Doesn't matter how good of a Christian we look if we can't apply it into our everyday lives. God has gifted us with physical bodies that need to be stewarded well. He has gifted us with resources, with time, with finances to be stewarded well, with emotions to be managed well. Somebody say amen. Amen. And so while these kind of are more slower paced sermons the past few weeks, I do believe that they're very necessary for where God is trying to take his people. So I want to take you to Proverbs chapter 14. I heard a message a couple weeks ago a couple months ago rather, and it really blessed me. It was out of the same passage. Proverbs is a book associated with wisdom. In the ancient Near East, wisdom literature was very popular among the region of Mesopotamia. Many ancient cultures had their own version of the book of Proverbs. But 1 Kings tells us that God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding beyond measure, so that his wisdom surpassed all the wisdom of all the people in the East and in Egypt. And the whole book of Proverbs is full of wisdom sayings. I would encourage you to read Proverbs. But in chapter 14, he's talking about three types of people. He's talking about the wise, the wicked, and the foolish person. And so that's what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about those three people, the wise, the wicked, and the fools. That's my title for my message this morning. I wanted to kind of start by asking the question, which of these do you think you are? But then I thought about it a little bit more, and I thought that's not really the question that we should be asking. The question that we should be asking is, which of these does God think that we are? That's the question that matters the most. At the end of the day, it doesn't really matter what the church thinks about you, what your friends think about you, even your family thinks about you. Those things are important, but more important than that is what God thinks about you. Is God pleased with the way that I'm living my life? Is he pleased with the way that I manage my time, my money, my resources? Is he pleased with how I handle my relationships, how I deal with conflict, how I handle stress? Does God think that I'm wise, a fool, or even worse, a wicked person? So hopefully you're not a totally wicked person here at church. I think most people tend to fall in the foolish category. I just think that's the truth. I think most people are more foolish than they are wicked or wise. But as children of God, we're all called into his wisdom, right? And so following this theme of God calling us out of things and into other things, I want to talk about coming out of wisdom, coming out of foolishness, and stepping into wisdom. Amen. So I'm just setting you up. My hope with this sermon is that it would reveal the type of person that you are in God's eyes so that we can move with intention towards wisdom and teach us how to interact with other types of people. Amen. So Proverbs 14, I'm going to take off my jacket real quick. Huh? That's why I don't wear suits, man. I don't wear suits anymore. I had another outfit on. And I asked Ellie what she thought, and this is what she said. She said, "You're a pastor, you should wear the suit." I said, "That little legalistic, judgmental girl." Just kidding. I like to wear suits sometimes, but it gets hot. Proverbs 14, if you would stand with me. And we're going to read a little bit. We're going to read the whole chapter. So pay attention. I'm teaching out of the NLT, so it's a little bit more easy to follow. Proverbs 14, it says this. It says, "A wise woman builds her home, but a foolish woman tears it down with her own hands. Those who follow the right path fear the Lord. Those who take the wrong path despise him. A fool's proud talk becomes a rod that beats him, but the words of the wise keep them safe. Without oxen, a stable stays clean, but you need a strong ox for a large harvest. An honest witness does not lie. A false witness breathes lies. A mocker seeks wisdom and never finds it, but knowledge comes easily to those with understanding. Stay away from fools, for you won't find knowledge on their lips. The prudent understand where they are going, but fools deceive themselves. Fools make fun of guilt, but the godly acknowledge it and seek reconciliation. Each heart knows its own bitterness, and no one else can fully share its joy. The house of the wicked will be destroyed, but the tent of the godly will flourish. There is a path before each person that seems right, but it ends in death. Laughter can conceal a heavy heart, but when the laughter ends, the grief remains. Backsliders get what they deserve. Good people receive their reward. Only simpletons believe everything they're told. The prudent carefully consider their steps. The wise are cautious and avoid danger. Fools plunge ahead with reckless confidence. Short-tempered people do foolish things, and schemers are hated. Simpletons are clothed with foolishness, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. Evil people will go before good people. The wicked will bow at the gates of the godly. The poor are despised, even by their neighbors, while the rich have many friends. It is a sin to belittle one's neighbor. Blessed are those who help the poor. If you plan to do evil, you will be lost. If you plan to do good, you will receive unfailing love and faithfulness. Work brings profit, but mere talk leads to poverty. Wealth is a crown for the wise. The effort of fools yields only foolishness. A truthful witness saves lives, but a false witness is a traitor. Those who fear the Lord are secure. He will be a refuge for their children. Fear of the Lord is a life-giving fountain. It offers escape from the snares of death. A growing population is a king's glory. A prince without subjects has nothing. People with understanding control their anger. A hot temper shows great foolishness. A peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. Jealousy is like cancer in the bones. Those who oppress the poor insult their maker, but helping the poor honors him. The wicked are crushed by disaster, but the godly have a refuge when they die. Wisdom is enshrined in an understanding heart. Wisdom is not found among fools. Godliness makes a nation great, but sin is a disgrace to any people. A king rejoices in wise servants, but is angry with those who disgrace him. Heavenly Father, we bring this word to you, Father God, and I pray, Lord, as I have received it, my God, your people would receive it, my God. With humble hearts, Father God, Lord, I pray, my God, that we would be teachable, molded by your word today, Father God. Say whatever you need to say, Father God. I pray that you would be on my lips, Father God, and be in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Amen. I love the last part of that verse that says a king rejoices in wise servants, but is angry for those who disgrace him. I think that should encourage us all to always want to be a wise servant for our king. I never want to disgrace God with my foolishness. And I know that's a lot to consume. Maybe you read that and you said, man, in some places I'm wise, in some places I'm a fool. Maybe even in some secret areas you're wicked. I do want to start by saying that I don't think there's a such thing as an all-wise person. I think to be all wise would require all knowledge and all understanding of all things. Nobody has that. Only the Lord has that. Only God is all wise. My dad, I consider my dad to be one of the wisest people that I know. I will go to my dad for advice on pretty much anything, but I won't go to him for everything. There's a couple things that I wouldn't go to him for advice on, not because he's a fool, not because he's not wise, but because he's not all wise. I do think that you can be an all foolish person, though. Maybe you know some. These are the people that you would never go to advice for. You might even ask a child before you ask them, right? I think you can also be an all wicked person. In fact, that's the way that we come into the world. The Bible says that our heart is deceitful. It insists on its own way. And so for a person who has grown up never putting those desires in check or giving totally into their desires, they might be an all wicked person who only desires what is best for themselves. I think many people have a balance of all three qualities. You might have some wisdom, you might have some foolishness, and you might have some wickedness. And listen, the balance of each one will determine the amount of harm or good a person can cause. Wicked people can use wisdom to their advantage. This is the example that we saw last week with the prudent manager. He was wise in the way that he used money, but he used it to serve his dishonesty. There are wicked people who use wisdom to serve themselves, and they can create a lot of damage in the world. These are like the evil geniuses of the world because they know how to deceive. They're smart. They're charming. They can convince you of things. They can make wrong things sound right. That's how the devil is described in the Garden of Eden. He was cunning, but he was wise. These people need to be watched carefully. Sometimes they need to be cast out and not allowed into your life, because simply rebuking a wicked person doesn't really do anything, because they know that they're wrong. You can't correct someone who knows what they're doing is wrong. And so many times their hearts are already hardened and they just need to be cast out from your life, and you have to have very little interaction with them as much as possible. And that's a really hard one for us as Christians, because for me, I'm a very loving person. I love people. I'm kind-hearted. I give everybody the benefit of the doubt. I trust too easily. And I've told y'all the story many times of how I was scammed into buying these $1,500 speakers for that were worth nothing. I have that about me. So I've got to be watchful. I've got to be discerning of the wise, wicked person. I also think you can be a foolish and wicked person. And a foolish, wicked person can cause a lot of destruction, but they're more careless than they are intentional. Think about the toddler running around destroying everything. They make a mess of everything. They color on the walls. They spill everything. They knock things down. They break things. They don't really know what they're doing. They just want to have a good time. Now think of that same toddler fully grown as an adult. They act without thinking. They speak without thinking. They are reckless in all that they do and all that they say. And they don't have Jesus to offer conviction to them, so it's hard to correct them. These are the types of people who come into the church all the time thinking that church is going to fix their problems, thinking that if they listen to a few sermons every week or say a few prayers every week or tune into some of the worship songs that God is going, that those things are going to fix them. These are people who never grow because they're still giving into their flesh the moment they leave Sunday morning church. They don't realize that they need true repentance of the heart. Just going through the motions doesn't mature them spiritually. These people need to be pastored. They need to be cared for. But ultimately, they have the decision to make to walk out of that wickedness so that sanctification can happen. Listen, I know this is hard for us to hear as leaders. No amount of good instruction and discipleship can fix a wicked heart. No amount. No amount. No amount of counseling and good conversations can fix a wicked heart. Only God can do that. So the goal for the believer is to rid themselves first of what is wicked. So I'm going to start there. Coming out of wickedness. First and foremost, this is what God's mission is. It's to save us from our sin, to bring us out of the captivity of sin. And so when we come to Jesus, we're literally choosing righteousness. See or no? That's what we're doing. It's an intentional move towards holiness. And we are repenting of everything that is wicked. And we're saying, Holy Spirit, fill me, fill my mind, my thoughts, my eyes, my ears. I give you my heart. We are moving from the identity of the world to the identity of Christ. Now, wicked things can still have a stronghold on us because the world doesn't want to let you go. The enemy will do everything that he can to keep you where you have always been. But if you remain in the Lord, the Bible says, if you abide in me and I in you, and you keep the mindset that you are a child of God and you seek the Lord diligently, you are adopted as sons and daughters of the Holy God. That is the gift of grace that none of us deserve. That we are allowed to pass through that identity of wickedness and into an identity of righteousness. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5:21, for our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Praise God for his grace. Thank God because he gives me an identity as a child of God. You don't have to be wicked. You don't have to be a slave to your sin. And maybe you're here today and you just know that you are so messed up. How many times I've talked to somebody who says, Pastor, I am so jacked up. The things that I have done in the past, they haunt me every single day. All God needs to do is call you out of it. His very call is the power to restrain every stronghold and every bondage that has kept you down for maybe generations. That's all you need. There's no stronghold powerful enough for the work that God already did on the cross, man. Jesus kills any identity. Listen, he kills any identity ever assigned to you by the enemy the moment you surrender to him. He says, now you are a child of mine. And some of us need to hear that over and over again. Because you've bought into the lies that you are just inherently corrupt and inherently wicked. Guess what? We all are. That's why we need the blood of Jesus. That's why we need to surrender to him. That's why we say, God, I don't want to be this wretched sinner that I am anymore. Help me. And he will. Come out of that wickedness. That is the first step for any person That is why we preach Jesus saves. Because at the end of the day, we want you in heaven, okay? You might be a baby Christian. You might have a lot of growing up to do, but just get there. Get to heaven. Coming out of wickedness, that's the first step. The next step is coming out of foolishness. And I'm gonna park it here for a little bit because unfortunately, a lot of Christians like to stay encamped in this category. We like to stay foolish. I don't know if it's because we think we're safe from hell and we can literally act a fool without sinning as long as we don't do anything wicked. It might be because we lack the discipline to live out a more holy life. It might be simply because we don't love God enough. We'll just be honest. There's a lot of Christians who just don't love God enough. There's a lot of Christians who just don't fear God enough. Because if we truly loved God and feared God, we would go as far as we possibly could with pursuing God. And so what happens many times is that a foolish Christian will manifest wicked behavior. Paul's letters often address foolish Christians. To the Corinthians, he said, I can't even address you as spiritual people right now. He says, I can't address you as, I have to address you as people of the flesh, because even though you carry the identity of Christ, you are infants in Christ. You've got the identity piece right, but you're not acting like a child of God. This is why you bicker. This is why you gossip. This is why you divide. This is why you can't forgive. This is why you can't show grace. This is why you're angry all the time. This is why you're still watching things that your holy eyes are not meant to watch. You're not wicked, but you're a fool. Verse 9 says, fools make fun of guilt, but the godly acknowledge it and seek reconciliation. What does this mean? It means that a fool doesn't take their foolishness seriously. Oops, I did it again. That's the epitome of a foolish posture. Some people think their foolishness is cute. God's still working on me, Pastor. He's still working. Girl, he's been working on you for 30 years. God don't need 30 years to work on you, man. All you got to do is come one Sunday to the altar, lay it all out, and God will fix you, and then you got to do some work. Some people are so insistent on staying in their foolishness because they don't want to give up their foolish behavior. See or no? I'm talking to somebody today. A foolish person waits for the other person to apologize first. Ooh, the Lord just revealed some foolishness in some of you. Come on. The godly, the verse says that the godly acknowledge guilt and they seek reconciliation. They're not waiting around for what the other person's going to do. They're not waiting around for the other person to respond first. Well, but it's his fault, but he should apologize. They're not waiting around. They don't have time to play those childish games because they're not worried about what you're going to do, about what the other person is going to do, because they don't live their life for you. They live their life for the Lord. And if I've got beef with you that I refuse to be aggressive about, that creates a wedge between me and my Father. I ain't gonna be a fool. I pity the fool. That's a fool. A foolish person is reactive. The passage says that they're quick-tempered. Holy Spirit, listen. Somebody here really needs to hear this one. The Holy Spirit doesn't speak first in a foolish person. Emotions speak first in a foolish person. Dios mío. I know this one's hard because all of us are emotional people. And we say, Pastor, but God gave us our emotions. Our emotions are a part of who we are. That's true. But when we adopt the identity of a child of God, that means that everything that we are, including our emotions, has to take a back seat to the Holy Spirit. A wise person has mastered this. A foolish person has not. A wise person can hold their tongue. A foolish person cannot. And the reason Christian churches all across the world have so much unnecessary drama is because the church is full of foolishness. Foolish people. 1 Peter 2, it says, so put away all malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. He says, like newborn infants, long for pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. How many of us believe that the Lord is good? Amen. We say it every day, every week. God is good. Some of y'all didn't want to say it this time. We've tasted the goodness of God. And so Peter's calling these Christians out. He's saying, well, if you say that you tasted the goodness of God, like you say, like you claim, then you got to put these things away. Coming out of foolishness means that we have to put away all foolishness and all evil. 2 weeks ago, I said that sometimes we need to repent of things that aren't sin, but they clog the Holy Spirit's movement in our lives. What's clogging the Holy Spirit's movement in your life? Think about it. And you've justified it because you tell yourself, well, it's not a sin that I'm lazy, but it's clogging the Holy Spirit's movement. It might not be a sin that you are managing your time, managing your money, your resources poorly, but it's clogging the blessings that you could possibly be to the kingdom of God. Bad attitudes. Well, it's not a sin, but it gets you in a lot of trouble and you have to be on disciplina all the time. You're trying to do ministry. Habits that corrupt godly character. Peter says, put it away. Put it away. Put it away. You don't need it anymore. Listen, God still reveals some foolishness in me every now and then. Can I be honest? Y'all know I'm always real, right? I try to be real with you, even if it makes me look bad. I'm going to be real with you, but it's going to make me look good. I'm real. Being real. I think that God would put me in the wise category. That's what I think. I mean, I'm not wise compared to him. I'm wicked compared to him. But compared to some people, I think he'd put me in the wise category. But every single day, I'm still building upon this wisdom. So every so often, God will reveal a foolish me in me that needs to be put away. Now, when you have more wisdom in you than you have foolishness in you, God can show you the foolishness and you say, man, yeah, Lord, I see it now. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have reacted like that. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have rolled my eyes when she gave me an attitude. Even though it was her fault, she started it, right? I shouldn't have ghosted that person. I shouldn't have left the chat all dramatically. I shouldn't have left the church out of one argument. When you are full of wisdom, God will reveal the impurities in that wisdom so that you can put it away. Wise people learn from their foolishness. You use foolishness as a way to make you wiser. There's lessons that you learn. But if you stumble over the same stumbling block, well, then you're a fool. But when you have more foolishness in you than you have wisdom in you, it's hard to see what's dirty because so much of you already is. If you know that God is calling you out of some foolishness today, the way that you deal with it, listen, is with intention. You got to attack it. It's with the word because the word reveals what's foolish. It's under submission. Oof. Because usually a foolish person is an unteachable person. You can't teach a foolish person anything. They don't need to be under anybody's submission. But if you think that God is calling you out of some foolish behavior, it would be helpful to put you under submission. And there's a lot of pride there because even, you know, sometimes it's like, well, they're younger than I am. They've got less experience. I've been in the ministry longer, but can you learn something from them? You've got to cling to wisdom. You got to cling to somebody who is wise. There's a few people in my life that I'm their pastor. I counsel them. I teach them. But I take every opportunity to hear what they say because wisdom speaks every time. And I'm just going to honor this person right now because this is the person that I think about, Pastor David. Every time I speak to David, wisdom comes out of his mouth. Cling to people who are wise. Stay away from fools, not because we need to cast them out and shun them. We need to nurture some of them, but don't hang around. Don't keep company of foolish people if you're trying to come out of foolishness. You've got to stop talking so much and listen more. You got to stop talking so much. You got to listen to words of wisdom. You got to get some counseling. Stop thinking that you can do it all by yourself. It's okay to get some counseling. It's okay to be vulnerable. You got to let the Holy Spirit drive, not your emotions. God is calling you out of the foolishness that has kept you in the same place for far too long. All right, so you still with me? Yeah, we're going a little slower, but it's okay. We talked about coming out of wickedness. We talked about coming out of foolishness. I want to talk about coming into wisdom. This is where the Lord wants every single one of you. He wants you in his holy wisdom. Listen, because a wise person who loves the Lord can do the most good. Just like a wise, wicked person can do the most harm, a wise, godly person can bless the kingdom in ways that so many people cannot. And this is what the passage says of the wise. I don't want to reread it again, but I've got some bullet points. The wise build and strengthen their household. They don't tear it down. The wise fear the Lord. Not just love the Lord, but fear the Lord. Because you can love somebody and still hurt them, but when you fear them, you're afraid to hurt them. So we got to fear the Lord. The wise seek and hold knowledge and understanding. You can't teach a foolish person anything because they already know it all. The wise are prudent in their steps. Jesus talks about the wise and the foolish builder. The wise plans accordingly. He counts the costs. Fools just wing it. The Holy Spirit will take care of me. That's foolishness. They work diligently to produce profit. They bless the poor. They turn from evil. They're slow to anger. They speak truthfully. That's the wise. That's what God is calling us into. And we've been talking a lot about changing our lives and coming out of places that God doesn't want us in anymore. We got to grow up. And we're talking about, we're declaring a great year for our lives and for this church. But we got to stop just declaring stuff. That's foolishness. You got to start acting like it. You got to start taking some steps, not just saying you have faith, but walking out in that faith. You have to begin to plan and to seek. And it might take a little bit of time, and it might take some getting used to, because you just do everything by the day. But a wise person, somebody who's going somewhere, someone who's been given vision. How many of you have been given vision? God is leading you somewhere. He's wanting to take you somewhere. He's wanting to take Numa somewhere. So we got to begin to make some wise steps forward. Last week in the money sermon, I said that one message is not going to fix everybody's money issues. But rather, it was a commitment to the Lord to be better stewards. You came up here and you said, God, I'm going to stop overspending. God, I'm gonna cut up those credit cards because they just get me in trouble. God, I don't need that thing from Amazon. We don't need that thing from Amazon. You don't need it. We made those commitments to the Lord to be better stewards, better planners, to walk away from the foolishness of our money habits. And today, we can't fix every foolish thing that we do. But we can commit to the Lord to begin to walk and move in wisdom, because to be moved, led, and empowered of the Holy Spirit means to be moved in wisdom. So this morning, we're going to put away some things that have been keeping us where we have sought to leave. The Bible promises if anybody lacks wisdom, ask the Lord and it will be given to you. Seek it and you will find it. Now, can I just tell you personal testimony, man? Every single day, I ask the Lord for wisdom. Every day. I think that's probably the number one prayer of my life. God, grant me wisdom to lead my family, wisdom to be the best husband that I can be, wisdom to lead my girls, wisdom to lead this ministry. God, give me wisdom. I need wisdom. And can I tell you, can I be real again? I didn't wake up the next day wiser. I didn't wake up the next day with all the answers. I didn't have an aha moment the moment I said, God, give me more wisdom. Instead, what God gives me are opportunities to test my wisdom. He puts me in circumstances where I don't know what to do, so I have to seek the wisdom. I've got to pray. I've got to ask. I've got to seek counsel. I've got to read my word. I've got to be discerning. I've got to be calculated. I got to be careful. I got to be planning. I got to be strategic. So if you're asking God for wisdom today, be prepared for some opportunities to open up to where that to where that wisdom can be tested and grown. I want you to stand with me this morning. Prayer team, can you help me? As we reflect today on what's keeping us in either wickedness or foolishness, I want you to think about what you have to lay down this morning so that wisdom can begin to fill your cup. So this is my altar call, okay? First I want to ask us to, so there's no distractions, can you close your eyes with me? Close your eyes. And I want you to know that the altar has always been a place of sacrifice. It's always been a place to lay something down, to offer something to the Lord so that he can give you what is better. And so some of you, with your eyes closed, some of you have foolishness that needs to be given up to the Lord. And I don't know what that is. Let the Holy Spirit convict you. You know you shouldn't talk that way. You know you should be doing better with your time, better with your resources. You know that you can be pretty petty in your relationships. Let God reveal that to you right now. My God, search our hearts, Lord. What is wicked in me, Father? And I want you to know that there is no shame in laying anything down at the altar. The shame is only in keeping what needs to be slain. Some of you have some wickedness in you. Come on, I'm talking to somebody this morning. I'm calling out some spirits this morning. You've got some wickedness that is keeping you from the holiness that God is trying to move you into. And your holy eyes have been contaminated, and your holy ears have been plagued by who and by what you listen to. And your mouth is filthy. Your heart is still looking out for what it wants instead of what the Spirit wants. And God is saying, I am calling you out of those things to move you into holiness and to move you into wisdom. If any of those are you this morning, I invite you to come and lay it down at the feet of Jesus and have a moment with the Lord. Come on, the altars are open. And I want you to use this moment as a confession to the Lord. God, I gossip too much. I entertain it too much. And sometimes I try to call it anything else but gossip, and I try to justify it by God, but in my heart of hearts, I know that it's gossip, Lord. Forgive me of my foolishness. I want to walk away from that. God, forgive me, Father God, for my mismanagement, Father God. Lord, forgive me because I don't do things with care, because I don't treat your ministry with care, my God. What is it this morning? These altars are open. My God, we need you, Lord. We need more of you, Father, to fill our cup.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like some more information on Pneuma Church, visit us on our website at mynumachurch.org. If you enjoyed the podcast, you can subscribe or share it with your friends on social media and tag us at mynumachurch. Thanks again, and God bless.